Let's get into the Word. Now, I will share this with you. I started a series last week called Faith Wins. Faith always wins. Faith always wins. Can you say this with me? Faith always wins. The importance of instruction in faith, what faith is about, how this works, what makes it click, how faith applies in our lives, and the understanding of faith goes beyond simply head knowledge, or beyond simply Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you ask somebody what faith is, automatically, if anybody knows anything about the Word, they'll go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, which says, you can say it with me, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What in the world does that mean? Okay? It's not something we say rotely, but it's pointing to what faith is all about. But it's this background of what faith is. You know, we have to have faith. And we're going to be in faith one way or another in our lives in some kind of area. Our faith, if it's not placed in God, will bear fruit wherever it is. Wherever you place your faith is where you're going to bear your fruit. But you're going to put your faith someplace. So we need instruction on how and where and the what fors and the application and all these things of faith. So we get the understanding, not in our only in our minds, but in our hearts. Now, when I prepare a message, I'll tell you this. I usually prepare an outline. Sometimes I stay with the outline. Sometimes I don't. But what I like to do is I like to stay on track. So I build an outline for my messages. And that's part of how all of us as instructors do this for our classes. So we stay on point and on track. But what I'm getting at is my outlines typically for a message go anywhere from a page to two. Just depends on what I feel like the Lord's having me cover. I've got 5 pages today. I hope you're ready for 3 hours. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. Okay? Because we're going to talk about faith. Because faith wins. 2021 is here. Will we face it in faith or in fear? In faith or in fear? We must be cognizant. We must be aware of where we are at in the situations that continue to come in our lives from today forward. Are we in faith or are we in fear? What is going to rule our lives? I was reading again, you know, I read a lot, reading about John G. Lake again, and he's one of my faith heroes. I got many. And he's one of my faith heroes. And his biography, most people know about this, but about 100 years ago, John G. Lake, he was ministering in South Africa, had moved his family over there, and he was ministering, and he was evangelizing and getting people healed. A big thing of part of his ministry was telling people the gospel and getting them healed. Telling them the gospel and getting them healed. It really can be all our ministry. And he had a lot of people that he reached for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and got them healed from all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Now, the bottom line is the bubonic plague was there in South Africa at the time. The bubonic plague was a massive killer. You get the bubonic plague, you're done. You get isn't no mask going to help. So John G. Lake and another minister were down there helping. They felt led to help the doctors who were ministering to the patients getting the bubonic plague. And they were helping bury the dead. Foaming coming out of the mouth and all the aspects of the plague that were happening. They'd get it on them and, you know, it would spill over on them. And one of the doctors said to John Lake, "Wow, aren't you glad that we've got protection from this?" And John G. Lake goes, I mean, this is what was recorded. He looks at me and goes, "What protection are you talking about?" Because they had medical protection. He said, the protection that we have is the Word of God. Amen. Romans 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, this is his declaration, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And he said, when the plague or the the parts and pieces of the plague come to me, they die. They reach my body and they die. And he said, I'll prove it to you. And they put it under a microscope. They took some foam off of somebody's mouth who had died. They put it on his hand and they scraped it from his hand and they put it under a microscope. And all those little wiggly, germy, filthy, disgusting, diseased things were dead. John G. Lake did not live in fear. But he lived in faith. Faith wins. You see, Corona has entered the picture and been made bigger than life. Bigger than God. To the church, many of the church, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, if you place your faith in God, not the world, and I'm not saying be stupid. Don't go off half-baked. But I'm talking about real faith. If you place your faith in God, you're under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the law of sin and death cannot touch you. I meditate on this, oh wow, periodically, have for years. Years. It is a part of my life in believing God and staying in faith in God. I'm not going into fear. I'm not going to do it. I have walked through many things in my life, sicknesses, diseases, body malfunctions that would, well, some of you know, make you just want to go home, make you want to die. So, go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, if you would. Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is our jumping off point. I covered this last week. I want to refresh on this for a moment. Our jumping off point of understanding faith. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Boy, that's a big deal right there. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to refresh on this for a moment, because it's important that we get this embedded not only in our minds, but in our hearts. Without faith, and faith as a starting point, and faith as an ending point. You have to remember, this isn't only starting. This is a continual thing. Without faith, it is impossible. It cannot be done, if you look at it in this respect, to please him. Because we can't please him by our works or our efforts, our performance. It doesn't accomplish anything. It is impossible to please him. Do you know God is blessed by his creation? That's us. When we believe him, when we take him at his word. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It blesses him. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is all he says he is. This is what I think we struggle with a lot of times is, are you really all you say you are? Now, I don't know that any of us would ever say that out loud. But what happens in our hearts, if we don't know him as he really is, we have our own perceptions or our own understanding or our own kind of things that we filter God through instead of who he really is and believing who he really is. I mean, cutting everything else, all the peripheral stuff out. Must come to God, must believe that he is all he says and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A rewarder in the Greek means pays wages. Now, it doesn't mean you're working for the blessings. What it means is, this is the way the writer of Hebrews put it so we can understand, God pours out blessings according to his word and his promises for those of us, his children, his sons and daughters, who seek him for who he is and believe him for who he is by faith. It's not seeing. It's seeing with our heart, through our spirit, by the word, who our God is for us. And he pays big in blessings and benefits for those that diligently seek him. That's our jumping off point. Okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, where you place your faith is where you see your fruit. So many now at this time, because of the advent of social media and the influx of all the changes and the transitions that are going on in our country and our state and our local governments, are pushing. There is a pressure to believe everything that comes out of whatever media or whatever the government says, rather than we're at this point. Believe God. I mean, there is a real conflict here. So we have a continual choice to make. In understanding faith, if you want faith to win in your life, you cannot fake faith. It doesn't happen. You can't say, you know, I'm going to do all I can do. I'm going to say 1,000 times I have whatever it might be according to the word, but I don't really believe it in my heart. I'm struggling with this. I'm going to fake it till I make it. Amen. It doesn't happen. You can't fake faith. And you cannot force faith. I'm talking about individually, internally. You can't force it. When I say force, it's like I'm going to make myself believe. What happens is there's a change inside of us, a transition inside of us that happens from a relationship with God and the Word of God that happens. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, point blank. There's a transition that happens inside of us where we simply believe. And that's it. There's no complexity around this at all. There's no influence. There's no filtering through our, maybe our off perceptions. I'm not looking at my feelings or anything else. I'm really simply taking him for who he is and what he says and what he's given to me by grace. And I'm believing. That's when you see the miracles. That's when you see it. We go through processes a lot of times of gaining ground in receiving the promises of God by faith, because we're not all the way transitioned there. There's still some things in our hearts, our minds, our understanding that aren't clear. And so we wonder why things don't happen instantly. That's why. Because we're not quite fully simply believing just yet, but we're making progress. Make sense? All right. So I want to say to you again, faith always wins. Faith in God always wins. Man, we had faith in God getting in here this morning. No, really? I placed my faith in God. You got it? Okay. You said have church? Okay, we're going to have church. And it was a little dicey out there for us. living in faith, and this, let me get my scripture here. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If I look at every situation in my life and I say, I'm going to believe God for the promises. I'm going to believe God for, today was for protection, preservation. We had a little meandering off the road there. I'm going to believe God for his care. I'm going to believe God for my job. I'm going to believe God for my relationships. I'm going to believe God, and on and on and on. I'm going to live by faith in him. Remember, I've always got a choice of where to place my faith. I'm going to divert for a minute. There was an article in the Epic News it was in a Christian news organization, and I'm a little skeptical of the background in this organization, and you all know who it is. And we're not naming names here. And in this was promoting, pushing, encouraging everybody. There's another stimulus package coming for paycheck protection for the churches and the nonprofit ministries. Run, get your stuff together. And I mean, run and get the paycheck protection from the government. I mean, get the handout from the government. Well, really from you. Get the handout. I have a really hard time putting faith in the government for my paycheck. I have a hard time putting faith in the government to take care of the church. If I can't put faith in God to take care of me or Rosie and I or take care of this church, then I'm in the wrong business. Amen. If I can't put faith in God to take care of me even without pastoring, you know what? There's either something wrong with God or there's something wrong with my faith. Faith in God always wins. There's a push and a pressure to always go someplace and get your promises and needs met other than God. It's there. That is the broken world that we live in. Is it going to be an influx or and have an entrance into the church? In some, yes, it will be. Not here. We're not going to the government. Not now. Not ever. Faith has got to come from a belief of the heart by knowing God as he really is. That he is love and he is just and he is good and he is trustworthy. He is a giver and he is powerful all on your behalf. If you simply believe. If we focus on the world, and that's again, there's pressure, man. Focus on the world. Focus on the world. Focus on the world. Focus on the world. It's been 2 months. We don't have a president yet. Focus on the election. Focus on this. Focus on that. Focus on corona. Oh, there's another strain. Think about it. Focus on it. Meditate on it. Magnify it. Blow it up. Make it bigger. Then you're going to have fear. Remember, we're in a broken world. The church is not broken. The body of Christ is not broken. We do not live that way. If you focus on God, you're going to be full of faith and you're going to see the results. Amen. I want to ask you while I'm thinking about it right now. I'm making some rabbit trails this morning. I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do. We had somebody, we're a blessed church. We've had over the Christmas season, we had somebody in our church was, I found out, was living in their car. And I want to receive, I don't care, this is not to go through church, this is not going through the books, but if you want to give today to this person, there, the Lord is taking care of them. He's got more for them, but I'd like to bless them. We had somebody in this church, their house was broken into. Their car was broken into, and they were ripped off. This is over Christmas. If you want to give to them today, all right, we're going to do that. Ushers, would you receive an offering? Not right now, but at the end of the service. Not right now. Not right now, but at the end of the service, that would be great, okay? And we'll make time. Flag me on that, will you, so that I remember that you got to get the buckets. Are you all okay with this? Okay, thank you. I want to be able to take care of our people regularly. If you have a need, we want to be there because the church is to take care of the church. Amen? Okay. All right. Let's get back on track here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Another familiar verse. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Can you go there for a moment? Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We understand that to mean, when Paul wrote that, when that became scripture, faith rises up inside of us. When we hear the word of God, because it is the truth, it's actually the reality of our life. We base our whole eternity on this. Faith comes by hearing, and the only way that we hear so that faith can rise up is through the word and the presentation of the word of God. Now, here's what I want you to hear regarding faith. This is for a believer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We gain information in our minds, in our understanding. We gain information. This is what the word of God says. God gives exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20. I've given you life and life more abundantly, Jesus said. More abundantly, overflowingly. And there's so much more. Now, I just now gave you information. Okay? So information, and we're going to refer to faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Information, if you think about it and you meditate on it and you chew it up and you kind of, okay, Lord, you're kind of thinking about what all this means in the background and the context and, okay, how does this relate to me? And Lord, I'm having a conversation with you about this. These scriptures. Information leads to revelation. Revelation is when the scripture, when the word of God gets, literally in the Greek, it means get peeled back and opened up to us. Like those wow moments. Wow! When the word becomes so real, it's like we own it. It's tangible. It's I got it. I understand. Bing, the light bulb has come on. And the word of God becomes a revelation. Now we have two choices. Information leads to revelation. Information in the mind leads to revelation in the heart. Here's our choice. It results in one of two things: transformation or stagnation. Information leads to revelation. It results in transformation of our lives when it reaches our heart and we apply it and we do something with it, or we don't do anything with it, it leads to stagnation. Now, stagnation, transformation, of course, is the result, or the resulting part of this, are the blessings and the promises and everything God's got for us by faith. Because information has led to revelation, which has led to transformation when we've applied it. Or we don't apply it, we get information, we can get revelation, and we do nothing with it, and it leads to stagnation, which is the same as when a flowing stream goes into a pond. We used to have a pond near our house when I was growing up. And I mean, it had green slime. It was dead. It was dead as the deadest thing you've ever seen. It had green slime thick over it. It was dead. That was a stagnant pond. Lifeless. Fruitless. So that's what happens when we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The intent of that scripture by itself is to provide information that leads to revelation in the heart that results in transformation in every area of our life by faith. It is our choice what we do with it when we hear it. That is faith. One of the greatest aspects of living in Jesus Christ. Because we're in Him, right? If you're born again, you're in Him. If you're born again, your life is hidden in Him. Ephesians and Colossians put this so well. We are in Him. If we can think about this, can I give you a little visual about what it's like? This is really living through our spirit. You know, our spirit is a part of us. I'll do it this way. What you see here is a shell. Right? Yeah. What's in this shell are bones and sinews and muscles and veins and all that kind of stuff. The physical part of me is nothing but a shell. Within this physical part is the soulish part of me. My personality, my emotions, my thinking part, my rational reasoning part of me. And that's the part that will go in tandem with me to heaven. It'll be cleaned up. Aren't you glad? Yes. For all of us? Yes. But then, we know there's body, soul, and spirit. There's three parts of us. But then, there is the spirit. Now, this is hard to conceptualize. But inside of us, in our being, the part that is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever is immortal. There is this spirit that has been recreated and been made brand new, and been made perfect, and been made complete. That is the Holy Spirit of God has enclosed this spirit with Himself and sealed it, vacuum packed, so that no sin can affect this spirit or take the life away. That's what it is to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now, remember, I'm in this tent, I'm in this suit, I'm in this is nothing but temporary housing here, and I have my personality, my soulish part, my mind, my emotions. And then there is my spirit. If you can picture what it means to be in him, this is what I wanted to get to. We have an imagination, we have a way of thinking where we can picture things so that information, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 about being a new creation and living by faith, becomes revelation that leads to transformation. If you can think about it like this, the three parts of who we are. I can picture me, all of me, going inside and down and in and shrinking into my spirit and living there in the reality of who I really am. Because who I really am is perfect and complete and new and righteous and forgiven and whole and healed and full of the power of God and on and rich and blessed. And I can see through my spirit. When I picture like that, I know God is for me. Who can be against me? I know that I can believe God beyond any circumstance. I know that when I see through my spirit, I'm seeing through who I am in him. I am living through my spirit, my whole, made whole spirit. I become what Paul said in Corinthians. I become a heavenly man. Here. Are you getting this? Does this make sense? The picture I'm trying to paint here is what this is like to live through our spirit and by faith. No matter what the situations are. Because what God has done in our spirit through Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection has made us brand new. We're to see by the word, this, again, we get the word, it says information, goes to revelation, goes to either transformation or stagnation. It's the transforming of our lives. It's seeing who we really are through our spirit. I see myself whole and healed. I woke up this morning with in the middle of the night and this morning with one massive sinus headache. And I'm going, what is up with this? Now, I dealt with it in authority this morning. But I'm telling you, I am still learning, but I consider this informationally and in revelation and understanding and see myself living through the reality of who I really am. And I see things change. I'm not trying to make it happen. I believe God. I believe God. I want to tell you that living by faith this way makes life so much easier, simpler, more stress-free. You begin to see the reality of what God has given to us and what he has for us in this way. So it's just a tool, if you will, in how to live through our spirit man, our new spirit man. Now I got way off track. But I want to say this. Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. If we are not living by faith, we're living by something else. It's either one or the other. If you're not living by faith, you're living by, and doesn't have to be only fear. It could be feelings. It could be circumstances. It could be false doctrine. It could be all kinds of things. It could be by how, never mind. I'm not going to go there. The just shall live by faith. We're going to live our lives by faith, by who we really are in him. Because faith wins. And it wins in every single area of our lives. Because God has given us, he's granted us the victory. It's part of the payment, the wages, the blessings that we have. God has given us the victory in every single situation that we face. Everyone. And there's no exclusion in this. There's no exempt. There's no what ifs. I mean, there's nothing. God has given us the victory. He's made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's across the board, if we can see it, by faith through who we really are. By faith we enter into his grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Faith links with grace, and they must work together in order to experience the results, the promises, the blessings. You can't have one without the other. It doesn't work. It is faith and grace. Okay? And because grace has already been given, really, faith is all we need to apply. And faith wins. So the title of this message today, that was the intro. The title of this message today is The Battle Within. It's the battle within. And when you think about the battle within, I think you probably have an idea where I'm going with this. You see, the battle that we face, the battle that we fight, really is not against the external circumstances. It's not against what happens. The battle isn't against what's going on in the world around us. It's not against the proclaimers of doom that are in the world today. The media push, the censoring by big, who cares? Do we need to be aware? Yeah, but we don't need to be immersed. Please hear me on this. Because the world, you can see, here, you, I mean, really, this is how I picture it. I'm going to give you pictures on a lot of this. This is how I hear this great, big, huge sucking sound. It's trying to draw people, particularly believers, into the world. And all the mechanics and the messages and the promotion of all the world promotes, please come, immerse yourself here so that you put your faith there. You know, it can come from family. We got that. Okay? We could call them anti-faith. I have to be distant. I'm not saying cut off, but I'm very limited in what I will participate in. Because there's an anti-faith aspect in my own family. I love my family. Don't get me wrong. But same way Jesus, when he went to heal, or actually raise from the dead, Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. Everybody's wailing and weeping, and that's the world. They're wailing and weeping, they're moaning and they're groaning. They say, oh, all is lost, it's over, it's done. And Jesus turns to Jairus and he said, don't be afraid. Don't buy into it. Don't listen to it. Don't take part in it. Don't connect with it. Don't be lulled in when you hear all the promotion of death and what death has done and loss and grief. Don't. Only believe. Only believe. So Jesus goes into the room where the little girl had died and said, she's sleeping. And he said, all of you except mom and dad and a couple of my disciples, get out of here. Go on, shoo. Little girl, get up. Boop, her eyes pop open, she gets up. This is what happens, this great big sucking sound from the world, from big tech, from media, is trying to draw you. Again, family, friends, co-workers, the job. I mean, everywhere is trying to draw your faith into it. You make a choice where you're going to stay. You can get information by the Word of God. It can become revelation and truth and reality and tangible. And you can feel it, you can see it, you can know it. And then it's your choice to apply it to where it becomes transformation and tangible results, the tangible blessings, the tangible promises in every area in your life, or it becomes stagnation. One or the other. It's our choice. See, the battle within is not these external circumstances. The battle within is really against us. That's the greatest hindrance or hampering of faith that there is us and what goes on inside of us. So my heart, during this time, during this series, is that we get so fired up, not emotionally necessarily. It's okay to be emotionally fired up about faith, but that we get so fired up in the reality of faith and living in faith, by faith, and understanding how this works and applying it, and that we start rising up. I mean, we become the cream of the crop, and the world looks at us and goes, what's up with them? How can they do that? How can they live like that? What's going on in their lives? I got to get me some of that. Because that's what God has for us. He always has had, by grace. It's ours. It belongs to us. That is my hope and my heart for this, within this series, is that we begin to, I mean, really get it and see it from now on. Who needs prayer today? Who needs prayer by faith? Prayer from faith. Who needs aggressive faith applied to their life today with them? Anybody? Good. Anybody else? Okay. Hallelujah. I wish you could see sometimes how, when the Lord shows me how precious you are. I wish you could see from my eyes when the Lord's speaking to me about you, how dear and amazing and valuable and loved and cherished you are to Him. Lord, will you show them personally and individually and lavish on each one listening to this message today and here in this body how dear they are to you. Lord, we love you. We're blessed. Faith wins. And we know we're going to see more and more of the results of the reality of faith in you for our lives going forward into 2021. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have a very blessed week, everybody. Praise God. Praise God.